sure that was quicker than last time, Nisia. She must be getting fit. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. It's a joy and a privilege for me to be with you once again. It's a sort of home from home for me here. But I'm with Dave. I'm afraid I don't know all your names. The Lord does. For you, I'm Les. It's easy. You've only got one to remember. It's one of the problems of being an itinerant preacher, I suppose, really. It's because I'm round churches all over the valleys. You can't get to know everybody. And when I first started training for the ministry, a wise man once said to me, "You have to be going to a church for at least 10 visits before you even remember the secretary's name." I think it's more than that. I've been coming here now, and I know a few names, but not all of you. But isn't it great and wonderful that God knows each and every one of us by name? But isn't it ever so slightly frightening that he knows each and every one of us? But the amazing thing is even though he knows us, even though he knows our darkest secrets, still he loves us. And that is utterly amazing. I seem to have said it an awful lot lately. In fact, looking back through my notes, it seems to have been a theme that I've been mentioning for some years now. But we live in an uncertain world, don't we? I seem to have been saying it an awful lot. And just looking at the news items that were up there before the service, we see what's going on in Egypt and in Syria and in Libya, right across North Africa and the Middle East. And only today, that volcano in Iceland blowing its top once again, and they're talking about more disruption of flights and airspace closed. And we remember our dear brothers and sisters in Japan still trying to get their situation under control. And just not that long ago, earthquake and disaster in New Zealand. It seems to be happening all over the world, doesn't it? It's like our whole world is groaning for the return of our Lord. Amen. I believe that we are in the last days. When Jesus is going to come, I don't know. It might be this week, this month, this year, next year, 10 years. I don't know the time scale. Only the Lord knows that. But it's our job to be ready, to watch and to wait. And not to be just ready ourselves, but to share the gospel so that others too in this uncertain and frightening world can be ready too. Because I believe there's a sense of fear in our world these days. People are afraid of the future. They're afraid of what's happening now. People are uncertain. What direction are we going in? Who do we choose to lead us? Where do we go? What's going to happen? And while I was pondering on what to bring today, I thought, I want to bring a simple message. A simple message of love, of care, and of hope for the future. And so this morning's reading can be found in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And you know these words, I'm sure. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isn't that a wonderful psalm? You know, as I was reading that, a little voice suddenly switched on in my head and said, unless you haven't done the greetings and the welcomes and the love and what have you from fellowship. So before we look at that word, I'll just do that very quickly. Love and greetings from my home fellowship. And especially from Jan. It's a special day for Jan today, for it's her last Sunday as church secretary at home. She has so many responsibilities upon her these days, so with great prayer and great consideration and great consultation with the leadership at the church, her term of office comes to an end this year, and she's decided not to renew it, not to stand for election again, because she just feels that she cannot give it the time that it demands and requires. And so with a heavy and sad heart, she's decided not to stand for election. It's our AGM tomorrow, and so we're seeking the Lord for a new secretary to take over from Jan. So today is her last day in office. So she said, be sure to tell everybody at Siloam that next time you go, I'll be with you too. So special love from Jan. Please pray for her, for the way that God will lead her in the future, and of course for the fellowship as we take another step in another direction. In God's grace and mercy, we have a number of nominations for the diaconate for tomorrow's meeting, and we have nominations for the post of secretary. So pray for us tomorrow that God will help us to make the right choices so that we will go forward with him. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Going forward with him. Just to bring you up to date, personally, I was sharing with Nisia, I've had a dreadful chest infection for about 6 weeks or more. Praise the Lord, by his grace and mercy and an awful lot of antibiotics, I'm on the mend. But if the voice croaks a little, please bear with me. Got the water there ready. And to bring you up to date with my Sarah, I shared with you when I was here last that she was looking for a university place. And praise the Lord, she's been given 2 firm offers, subject to her grades, of course. And she starts her sort of finals, as it were, next week. So I'm sure Sarah would be grateful for prayer as she sits her A-levels. She couldn't have chosen anything harder. She wants to do veterinary medicine. So she's doing maths, biology and chemistry. She couldn't have chosen a harder route to take. But she's been offered a place at Harper Adams College in the University of Shropshire. And her fallback is all the way down in Cornwall, which is actually where my roots are from. My dad was born in Redruth in Cornwall. And she's been offered a place at Duchy College, University of Cornwall, subject to her grades. So that brings you up to date with me and with the fellowship. As I say, it's an uncertain world, isn't it? As Sarah embarks on her adult life now, she's not entirely sure what direction the Lord is going to take her. I praise God and thank him with all my heart that Sarah has given her life to the Lord, and she's a wonderful young Christian leader. She has a passion for the Lord. And while she's chosen this route in her academic life, she's not entirely sure where the Lord is going to lead her. And in this great nation of ours, we've just had elections and who knows what. But things are difficult, aren't they? We're in a time of economic meltdown, not just here, but all over the world. We seem to have wars and rumors of wars between nations and indeed within nations. And we've mentioned in our prayers, and I just mentioned Egypt and Libya and Syria and the Yemen and so on, where there seems to be utter turmoil. And across our world, we've seen earthquake and fires and tornadoes and tsunamis. It is like our whole world is groaning. Here at home, prices are rising. Jobs are being lost. Our economy is in tatters. Our young people especially seem to be hurt by all of this. They see no hope for the future. And so they look for respite in drink and drugs. And yes, even suicide. For we have the highest teenage suicide rate in all the developed world because young people are in despair. They don't know what the future holds, and so they can't face it. As I said, we've recently had elections, and all the politicians claim to have the right answers, don't they? Who do we believe? Who do we trust? Which one of them is telling the truth? Who can put our society back together again and bring us hope for the future? I'm not entirely convinced they can. Whether our problems are national or personal, there is only one who can right the wrongs, restore our faith, and see us through bad times into good. Only one can save us. His name, Jesus. And so I've called this morning's message, Never Fear, God is Here. As I've mentioned, I've been quite poorly for some weeks, and I was uncertain what message to bring today. Where to start? And so I was in my usual place, in my little office, at my desk, with my Bible, my trusty laptop, a blank sheet of paper, and before the Lord in prayer. Okay, Lord, what are we putting on this sheet of paper for this week? For me and for your people. And you know, I was led to look in through some old notes on a message that I had brought, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago perhaps. This simple message of love, help, and hope for the future. And it just leapt out at me. And this Psalm 46 kept returning to my mind. And so I felt comfortable that this was what the Lord wanted to bring to us today. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I love the Psalms. And I know from my records that I've preached on the Psalms here before. So I must have mentioned to you that this book of Psalms is actually 5 books, all collected together over a considerable period of time. Psalms 1 to 41 were written by David and probably collected together before his death. Psalms 42 to 72 are again mainly David's, but probably collected together in Solomon's time. Psalms 73 to 89 and 90 to 106 are thought of as collections from the time when Judah was in exile. And finally, Psalms 107 to 150 were added after their return from captivity in Babylon. And within these 5 books, the Psalms are further divided into categories: penitential, the writer's sorrow for his sins; historical, passages of history in Israel's time; praise speaks for itself, the psalmist praising God for his greatness. Relational. The writer's personal relationship with God. And prophetic. Foretelling the future. And so on and so on. And this Psalm 46 falls into the category of prophetic as well as praise. For it uses poetic language that clearly refers to the coming of Jesus. But also within these wonderful words, there is a theme of praise to God for the help that he gives us, for his presence with us, and for the future peace that he will establish. And here, if you like, are our 3 points for this morning's message. Time for a slurp. Most of you are too young, I think, to remember the Galloping Gourmet on the TV, the first great TV chef. Do you remember him? Every now and again, he'd break off from cooking and say, time for a slurp. With him, it was a glass of red wine, though. For me, just God's wine, glass of water. Well, let's have a look at these famous opening words of this psalm together, shall we? You know, these words have had great significance in my life and have brought me great comfort in troubled times. For this is a promise from God himself. That whatever we're experiencing in life, he is with us. He is our refuge and strength. When everyone seems to abandon us, when we seem to be alone, when we feel weak and vulnerable in the world, he is there for us. And he will be our strength. I've certainly known that these last 6-8 weeks or so. For whilst I've had this chest infection, praise God, I haven't had to cancel a single date. And Pam will tell you that on Saturday I felt absolutely dreadful and I've been up to here in pills and painkillers and throat sweets and who knows what. But come that hour or so on Sunday morning, the Lord has given me back my voice. And I've been able to preach his word and share the gospel with many. And then gone home. And as I sit down for lunch, I go, ugh. And then by the evening, my strength is back. And I've been able to preach the Lord's work again. Not me. I've been down there somewhere, struggling against a croaky voice, a heaving chest, shallow breathing. But for that time that the Lord has wanted me to bring his word, he strengthened me. He's been with me. He's enabled me to bring his word. And if it's only for that hour that I felt great, afterwards I felt tired and weak. But again, the Lord has been with me. It's personal, you see. He's there for each and every one of us. Going back into history a little, if you like, most of you know that I've been through the mill a bit, health-wise. With the hemorrhages and the stroke that I've had in years gone by. Perhaps what you don't know is that during that time, when I was so desperately ill, I also had some very serious personal problems. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail, for these are issues long past. Water under the bridge, as we say. But suffice it to say that the situation I found myself in had potentially extremely serious consequences for me and my family. You can imagine that having to deal with personal issues, as well as fighting for my very life, took quite a toll upon me. And it was during this troubled time that I lost my mum too, just weeks before my sister's wedding. I don't remember much these days. My short-term memory is dreadful. But I do remember that at that time, a friend said to me, "How much more is one person supposed to take?" I was at my lowest ebb. It was indeed a grave and very difficult time for me. But nevertheless, my Christian friends rallied round to support me, to bring words of comfort. And I had many, many prayers said for me. You know, it's easy to believe and trust in God when all is well, isn't it? When things are going swimmingly, when the sun is shining and it's a lovely day, work is going well, family is great. It's easy to trust in the Lord then. It's not so easy, is it, when things go wrong? When it seems that all the world is out to get you. Or when you lose a loved one. Or even come close to losing your own life. To trust in God then is not so easy. But, and I love it when there's a but, we have a great and wonderful God who doesn't leave us to endure the troubles of life alone. He's always there to help us and to guide us. He is indeed an ever-present help. Always there. I remember saying to my dear wife one day, "Darling, now I need faith like I've never had faith before in my life." They say, don't they, that faith isn't faith until all you have is faith. I can't imagine what the people of Japan have gone through in recent days, or the dear souls in Libya, or what's happening amongst the Christians in Egypt this very week. What they are going through, I can't imagine. They've lost everything. At the time, my little secure world fell apart, and I feared I would lose everything, including my life. I must have shared with you before that after the surgery I had for the first brain hemorrhage, when I finally became slightly compos mentis, although some would say that I've never been that, I said to my surgeon, "Well, how bad was it, Doc?" And he said, "Les, I didn't think you were coming off my table. I did as much as I could, but there came a point when I had to say to my team, time to stop or we'll lose him." I had 8.5 hours of brain surgery. After all of that, they still haven't found one in there. But it's there somewhere. I came that close to going home. And 3 times that's happened. A friend once said to me, "Les, how can you possibly believe after all that you've been through?" And I said to him, "My dear friend, you've got it all wrong. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't have come through all that I've been through." God, if we trust him, is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help. When we need him most, he is always there. And that's the great thing, isn't it? That we're not alone. We're never alone. He's always there to help us. Look at the words of the psalm. An ever-present help. And verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. And again in verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is our strength. He is our safe place. If we run to him, those wonderful, ever-loving, everlasting arms are wrapped around us to protect us, to care for us, to watch over us. These are references to the Holy Spirit here with us today. In a few weeks, we shall be celebrating Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and into our world. And Jesus himself promised us that we would never be left alone, that we would have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the very presence of God himself alongside us, within us, part of us, to guard us, to guide us, and to help us through what? Through all of our days. Not just on Sunday. Not just when we're in the prayer meeting. Not just when we come to a fellowship or house group. But all the time. Excuse me, catches. But all the time. Every moment of our lives, he is there. In John's Gospel particularly, you'll see that Jesus makes promise after promise that we will not be alone, that he will be with us through the Holy Spirit. My sister has a wonderful phrase, me plus God equals the majority. It's like union voting, really, isn't it? One person casts 500,000 votes. Me plus God is the majority. If God is with us, who can be against us? For he is our refuge and strength. Whatever life and this world throws at us, if we trust in God, he will see us through. Which very neatly brings us to the final point of the hope of peace for the future. The middle part of this psalm paints a wonderful picture of the New Jerusalem, the place where God dwells. Heaven, paradise, glory, whatever you want to call it. The earthly kingdoms may fall and the world may be in chaos. But our God reigns. He is the God of God, the King of kings, the Lord of all. We mentioned that this psalm is one of the prophetic psalms. And this bit foretells of the last days when time is no more and Jesus will come again. This is the hope that the Christian has. That when this life of ours is over, we shall be with him in glory. One day, whenever that may be, no matter what we've experienced in life, no matter what we've been through, no matter where we've been in our personal lives, if we believe and trust in Jesus, then one day, that wonderful, great and glorious day, we shall be with him in glory. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not when you served a time in purgatory. Not if you're going to be a good boy and do your best. The man was on the cross next to Jesus. He had moments to live. He didn't have time to do his best for God. All he had time to do was acknowledge Jesus. And what did he do? He looked across to Jesus and said, truly you're the Son of God. Remember me when you come to your Father's kingdom. That's all it takes to acknowledge Jesus, to believe that he is the Son of God, and to ask him to be in our lives. As Christians, we talk of the peace the world cannot understand. This is it. That no matter what life holds for us, whether it be good or bad, one day we shall be with Jesus and we shall see God Himself face to face and dwell with Him for all eternity, not just for a short time, not a nice little reward for doing your best, but we will be with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a hope for the future. I hope and pray that this great nation of ours will come out of its troubles, that God will raise up good and godly men to lead us, those who will lead this nation back to Him. And once again, we will be known as God's own country. He will restore His name in this land. I truly hope the Lord in His grace and mercy will look down upon us and restore His name. But if that doesn't happen, we still have hope. We have hope for the future in Jesus Christ, that no matter what happens, one day we will be with Him in glory. So in difficult and uncertain days, if we believe in Jesus, if we put our lives into His hands, if we can say with the psalmist that God really is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble, then we need not fear. Never fear. God is here, for He is our help and our strength, our Savior and our Redeemer, and He will see us home to glory, to His glory. Amen.